Well, again, let's shift this conversation to teens and technology and a landscape that seems to always be in transition. Joining Wes Crenshaw are a pair of Free State grads from over in Lawrence, Emily Van Schmooze. She'll be attending Drake up in Des Moines this fall to study journalism. Emily, nice to have you. Welcome to Up to Date. And Ben Sokup is also here. He's off to KU to study computer science, and he just happens to be Emily's boyfriend. Ben, welcome to you, too. Good morning.
Thank you very much.
Well, Wes, you wrote in a column this morning in the Lawrence Journal World that technology is a lot like the Kansas weather. Give it a minute or two, and it's going to change. In fact, the biggest technological change in the last 5 years is actually the pace of change itself, no longer measured in generations or even years, but actually in months. How can parents ever hope to keep up with all of that? Because I know I struggle myself.
I favor moving to the Arctic and
out of here, right?
No, I am a techie kind of guy, and so I don't favor that. There is kind of two parts to that. One is you have to kind of understand the latest trends, even if you don't fully embrace them or get how to log into them. And we try to keep people up to date in our column and on this show about how that works. But the bigger issue is you have to have an overarching theory of media in your family. Emily and I have talked about this on more than one occasion about how her family has handled that. And if you have a theory of what is ethical, what is good about using social media, and you push that from the time your kid is five, no, I'm not kidding, because they're all using iPads at five now, then you have kind of a discipline around this that goes to any media that you're using.
Mm-hmm. Emily, did your parents have a certain discipline they instilled in you when it came to social media?
Yeah, when I first got a Facebook, I think I was in ninth grade, and my parents really didn't want me to get it.
Yeah.
And so they said, fine, you can get one, but we want to see what you're posting. And so at first I really didn't like that because none of my friends did that. But now I'm really glad that they kind of kept me on the right track because I see other people whose parents didn't do that, and I'm really glad that I'm not posting the kinds of things that they are.
Ben, how about you?
I also got a Facebook around ninth grade.
And, just call it a Facebook. It's interesting. A Facebook, yeah. Like it's something, like it's a tablet or something, or it's a book. Yeah.
Kind of is.
Yeah. My parents had a different approach. They kind of laid back, but anything I put was mine, and I would pay the consequences. So if I put something I might regret, my mom had to see it, and I could get in trouble for mm-hmm. anything I posted. So I was basically, here's the rules, don't mess up.
So your parents were monitoring what you were putting up?
Yes. One of the preconditions to getting one was friending my parents.
Ha. And did that continue all through your high school years?
Yes. I'm still friends with my mom on Facebook.
You're still friends. What a nice thought. Yeah.
And I'm going to say these guys are going off to college, and they're free to share if they're going to unfriend their parent. I'm kind of curious. But my view is, my mom is with me today. She's in the green room. And she reads all my newspaper columns, and she can see my Facebook page, and she can follow me on Twitter, and she's 88. And I don't really want to put anything up that I don't want my mommy to read.
Yeah, right.
That if you think that way, it keeps you from saying foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there might be things in a novel I might write that are a little more racy than she's used to seeing, but I'm going to still think my mom's probably going to read this just to give me a self-monitoring. So I think these are great ideas that these families have done.
Well, Emily, that Wes has raised the question, are you going to unfriend your parents once you go off to Drake up in Des Moines, or how are you going to handle that?
Well, neither of my parents actually have a Facebook. They would log into my Facebook to look and see what I was posting, so I'll definitely be changing my password once I get there.
there's the answer.
Because you're in college now, and by George.
Because I'm in college and I'm an adult, and I can do what I want now.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm definitely going to stay friends with my parents, but I try not to post much on Facebook. It's kind of been a downhill slope for Facebook. I see a lot of people our age aren't using Facebook as much. The generation maybe a few years ahead of us still uses Facebook a lot, and you can see them posting a lot of statuses and getting a lot of likes, but it's kind of fading out in our
for your generation.
Yes.
And why? I mean, is it just because quicker, hipper things have come along, you know, or what's the thinking about that?
We kind of talked about this with Wes, and it's kind of moved more to Twitter and having the restriction on the 140 characters. Like, you can't say as much, because you'll see people on Facebook post paragraphs of stuff, and
yes,
you're like, I don't want to read that.
Yeah,
I don't really
that.
Care. And then on Twitter, it's just like, it's instant, and then it's there, but the people that are looking at it, they don't just scroll forever mm-hmm. looking through it. It's more a power of your words, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Emily, how do you gauge that? Why is Facebook fading?
I think Facebook is fading because Twitter is the big new thing, but I don't think a lot of adults latched onto it. So when I tweet, really the only people that are going to see it are a few adults, but mostly people that are my age that go to my school that I'm friends with. And so I think people have a lot more leeway with what they can say on Twitter or what kinds of things they can post, as opposed to you're probably going to be friends with your parents or your grandma on Facebook, but they're probably not going to be following you on Twitter.
Hmm. And there's a really strange psychology in that with Twitter, because I have a Twitter feed and it gives lots of good parenting advice. No pictures of my cat on Instagram or anything. It's all professional stuff. But Twitter is such an odd thing because it really is a public display of your inner thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, young people don't seem to get that. They seem that there are terms like, you know, he's a creeper because he's reading my tweets. They're talking about a teacher or a parent are creeping their feed. Like, that's not public. And I think there is a really odd dualism in how they think about this. They want to put this out to who they want to put it out to, and then sort of forget about the other 450 million people that can read it.
Now, Ben, remind me, when you put stuff up on Twitter, can anyone see that?
Yes, but there is a restriction that you could make it private, which anyone that follows you has to send you a request, and you have to approve that they see your tweets.
Okay. And how did you handle that aspect of it, Emily, when it came to Twitter? Did your parents have access to that?
Yes. Both of my parents actually have a Twitter. They don't really tweet a lot, but they follow mostly news and stuff, and I
yeah.
follow like my friends. But my Twitter account is private, but I pretty much know everybody that requests me. And so there's just a handful of people that I just don't really know, and so I didn't accept them.
Yeah.
But that's not typical. Young people don't often protect their tweets because, as Emily can explain far better than I, this is a new form of gaining popularity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you protect your feed, and no one can read your fight you're having with your ex-friend going back and forth on Twitter.
Teens and Technology is our show today. We're wondering, parents, how do you monitor Facebook, Twitter, and everything else? And teens, how do you approach this yourself? How much do you put out? What do you hold back? Is the whole thing, are you too tempted to write things you shouldn't be writing on social media? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, our email address, UpToDate@kcur.org, or you can tweet us here at KCUR UpToDate. Let's go to some calls already lining up here. Madison from Overland Park. Madison, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I am not a teen. I'm actually a college. I'm a law student.
Uh-oh.
But I came of age during the like social media generation, and I think like one of the things that I learned in one of my very first law school classes that I wish that I would have known when I was a teen was how, you know, I know the immediacy is relevant, especially when it comes to what you're posting, but I also think it's interesting as, like, a frame of thought. I don't think a lot of, especially teenage girls, realize that a lot of the pictures that you post in a lot of states are admissible in court if you were ever in a sexual harassment case years down the road. You know, the defense could argue that, you know, you had a history of whatever, and it may not even be with, you know, the situation that you're in later in your life or in your career, and you know, I always have people say, like, this could come back to haunt you and your career or whatever, but I never thought about it, you know, coming back to haunt you legally. And if you were put in one of those situations, and I just wish more teenage girls realized that, you know, if they were a victim of one of these situations, you know, that could make or break a case for them to get justice.
That's interesting.
So right on the money. And if a case goes to a jury, then everything is fair game. That, as you know, as a law student, the job of the attorney is to give the best, most robust defense or prosecution or on behalf of the plaintiff that they can give. And if that means ripping every shred of evidence out of the internet about the witness, that's what they're going to do. And there is such a plethora of information out there that people create that it's just amazing what is used in court in the way you're describing. And if they can impeach the witness in a sex assault case, they're going to do it.
Well, and clearly, you know, Madison's phone call jogs the earlier part of our program today about the Maryville rape case. And clearly, it appears that social media and the impact it had in that case resulted in, at least it had an effect, some influence on that case not proceeding. And today, there's a 17 or 18-year-old young man walking around who did something horrible to a young woman and is not paying a price for that.
Well, you just have to think neurologically for a second. When Ben and Emily are smart young people, I'm going to guess that at least once in their life they've done something impulsive. Is that true, Emily? Have you ever done anything impulsive you regret?
Yes.
And you, Ben?
Definitely.
Okay. So these are amongst the nicest young people.
They're looking at each other and smiling, by the way. They know exactly what each one's talking about. Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
And so they're amongst the some of the best young people I know. And yet they've done that. Okay, so if I have an impulse to say something, I grab my phone and type it in and out it goes at 18 or 19. And then later I realize that was an impulse. Young people are wired neurologically to be impulsive. Why else would you have that film Jackass? What are they thinking with the skateboards? You know, they're doing things that are much more immediate in their brains than we are as adults. And that means when you take on Twitter, you got a loaded gun, metaphorically, to shoot out things into space that you will unquestionably regret later. Yeah. That's why it's a little bit dangerous. Now, should you shut off Twitter or get rid of it for your kid? Probably not, but you need to have that discussion. Immediacy isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah. Well, parents out there listening, let us know how closely you're monitoring your kid's social media, or are you monitoring it at all? 816-235-2888 and our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. Madison, thanks for the call. Let's go to Patrick from Mission. Patrick, you're on UpToDate. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead,
so,
Patrick.
I was calling in to comment. I don't have a Facebook. I'm going to be 29, and I just am really interested in the conversation about social media and parents and social problems. All I think kind of stem in this immediate culture that we have, you know. And you're just talking about the immediacy, the loaded gun of like I have to send information out, but like I think there's other ways. Spend time and what we can do with our time. So, yeah, great conversation, though.
Yeah, Patrick, thank you. I appreciate that. Sergio writes to us at UpToDate@kcur.org. Even though your account can be sent to private status or restricted to just certain people, I think he's talking about Twitter, those people who are able to see your account can always take a picture and share it. So bottom line, nothing online is really private. And Wes, you've been saying that and saying it and saying it again.
Amen, brother. That is privacy and Facebook and Twitter. Those words should never appear in the same sentence.
Yeah.
It's a super printing press, a super radio. Your phone is a super television station that can send your amazing message all around the world. And if you recognize that power and accept the responsibility that goes with it, these young people's generation has amazing tools to do great things. I had a kid one time whose friend got on her Facebook and put her status as I'm pregnant. Hardy har.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think her minister called up and offered his condolences.
Oh.
So I said to her, maybe you ought to get off Facebook. And she said, no, Wes. She said, you got to understand, Facebook is a tool. It's like a hammer. You can use it to drive a nail or hit yourself in the forehead.
There you go.
That's good advice.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation about young folks and social media. And we'll turn to a point that Emily made in a guest column this week in Doubletake over in the Lawrence Journal World, where she talked about this connection between social media and technology and status and how all of that is sort of intertwined. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Well, this hour we're talking about teens and technology. Dr. Wes Crenshaw is here from Lawrence. He's joined by two Free State High School grads, also from Lawrence, Emily Van Schmooze and Ben Sokup. Ben's off to KU. Emily's going to go to Drake. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. How do you decide what you're willing to post online and what's too personal to share? Again, 816-235-2888. And our email address, UpToDate at kcur.org, or tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. Well, Emily, you were a guest columnist this week in the Double Take column in Lawrence because you're pretty good about technology and planning on becoming a journalism major. You wrote this: technology isn't the only thing changing for the young adult community. Social status is becoming more and more dependent on what and where you post. You write, thanks to Twitter, Instagram, and Vine, everyone knows where you are, who you're with, and what you're doing, and has probably seen a photo or a video of you doing it, all to prove to the online world that you do, in fact, have a life. So I guess I'm wondering, when you put it that way, it's like teenagers today are living on a stage of their own creation. How do you feel about that?
There's kind of a mentality among people my age that if you don't post about it, it didn't happen, because you have to let people know that you did something cool and something fun with all of these friends, and you have to tell everyone about it, or nobody's going to know that you're cool and fun and you have all these friends.
It sort of verifies your experience somehow.
Yes. And I think it's becoming sort of a game where you people are trying to get the most number of likes and the most number of followers to kind of prove to their other followers that they're cool or they have a life.
Hmm. What do you think of that?
I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah. But it seems to be enduring.
Yes, and it's very easy to get sucked in. I get sucked in a lot. But if you are... Okay, so if you're out at a party and you make a Vine, which is...
The six-second video, the new thing. Yeah.
And so you make a Vine of your friend, and say your friend is really popular, and so you make this Vine, and people know who this person is in your video, and so everybody likes your video, you get normal popularity points because you're with this popular person, and now everybody can see that you were hanging out with the popular kids. But then you also get social media popularity because everybody knows this person, so everybody's liked your video, and now people are saying, hey, did you see so-and-so's video? And so you get more followers.
That's amazing to me. That is just amazing. Ben, does that sound about right to you?
It sounds about right.
Yeah. What do you make of it?
I really don't like it. I don't get sucked into social media as much as other people in this room, but
yeah,
I try to stay off social media because more and more I realize that everything I say is out to the world, and I don't protect much, and I try not to jeopardize myself.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a gender difference in that boys do this social media differently than what Emily described girls doing?
Definitely. The selfie and Instagram are dominated by women and picture taking. You definitely see a lot more women getting likes or favorites or retweets than guys.
Well, why is that, Emily? Why are women more drawn to taking pictures and posting them?
I think girls get more sucked in. I know with Ben and I, he's always like, why do you have to take a picture of this? Why are you making a Vine of this?
Sound like my kids talking about my wife. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think girls just get more sucked in, and we're also pretty competitive. And so, say I have more likes on a similar tweet than this other girl, then I'm going to feel great because people liked mine better. I think it's just girls getting competitive with each other, and then guys are just, they just think we're silly.
Wes, what Emily and Ben are describing, that's kind of a race to nowhere, isn't it? I mean, that's really, it's so interesting. They both articulate it so well, you know?
Yeah, I think Emily says this well in the column where she says it sounds ridiculous, but it's become a delicate social game that must be maintained at all times. All this is an electronic projection of what we've seen in peer groups for as long as we've had kids in middle school and high school. What's different about it now is it's in a different frame than it used to be. It's not just on the playground or after school or driving around town or wherever you were socializing. It's now interconnected through media to kind of everyone. Mm-hmm. And your social friend group is kind of unlimited at this point who you can broadcast to. And so with that power, the impact of what we're describing here is just much greater. And the damage you can do and the good you can do is much greater.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to hear Ben describe that you're sort of shying away from social media a little bit. Tyler writes to us at UpToDate@KCUR.org, "I also don't have Facebook or Twitter. The power of social media outlets are underestimated. Don't get on if you can't handle the ride." And that's what Tyler writes. I would love to know how old Tyler is, but you begin to wonder pretty quickly, Ben, if people are beginning to shy away from social media, if that becomes a trend, if this whole thing just becomes something that people recognize as just poison one way or the other.
Well, I definitely think in the future social media will die out. It'll always be a thing.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a younger generational thing, and it's always going to change, and there's always going to be new forms of social media and communication. But it changes so fast. Like, 5 years ago, Facebook was the thing, and now it's switched to Twitter, and it's even moved over into, like, Instagram and Vine. And it's moving so much that some people just stop caring. I feel like the next generations will have a new form of Facebook, and they'll have their form of communication. Mm-hmm. And it's just a pattern that we're going to see repeat, in my opinion.
Is it hard for you guys to keep up with it? I can only begin to think what it is for your parents, Emily. But is it hard for you to keep up with it?
It's a little bit hard because you have to have – okay, so I have a Facebook, I have a Twitter, I have a Vine, I have Instagram, and it's kind of hard because – Ben's laughing at me. You have to know what to post where, and you have to keep up with it all the time. And if you get sucked into this whole like game mentality almost, you have to be on top of it. There are certain times that more people are going to be on Twitter, and so you'll get more likes. And you won't want to post something on Instagram if it would be better on Twitter. And so it's really, really hard to keep up with all the new things. And I think that's why a lot of our generation has given up on Facebook, because it's just one more thing to think about, and it's not as new and exciting as the other things.
But what's the threat, the time suck threat from spending all this time on these different branches of social media, and what that does to good old-fashioned American homework, Emily?
I have definitely spent several nights on my phone rather than doing homework, and I've had several early mornings where I'm doing the homework that I should have been doing when I was not doing it. I was on my phone. So yeah, it's a really big time commitment. And I think a lot of people don't realize how much time it actually takes up. I think if we had a counter or something on our phone where it would tell you at the end of the day, you spent 3.5 hours looking at Twitter today, you don't realize it because it's so new. Everything is new. And so you are looking at your news feed and it's interesting, but then you realize, oh, an hour has gone by and I still haven't done anything today.
Yeah. You're giving me lots of parenting ideas here as you two are talking. How about you, Ben, when it comes to homework and the distraction aspect of all of this?
It can definitely distract me from homework. I can just be on my computer and be browsing and just lose track of time, and then all of a sudden it's 11 or 12 at night, and I still have math homework to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Emily, you also asked an important question in the column, in the Double Take column. You said, is all this social media real popularity or just perceived popularity? I thought that was a very prescient point.
I think it's really perceived popularity because definitely I'm getting ready to go off to college, and I know that the people that I'm following now that are in my high school, I'm probably going to unfollow a lot of them because I'm not really interested in what they're doing because I'm not at that school anymore. And I'll definitely keep track of my close friends. But when I move to Des Moines and I make all these new friends, my social media popularity isn't going to matter because they're not going to know, oh, she's the cool girl with the cool tweets, which I'm not. But if I were, then they're not going to know that when I move there. And so I'm going to have to start all over and get all these new followers. And I think that it's really perceived popularity, and I don't think it's as big of a deal as we make it out to be.
I was going
to
say, Wes, you know, my sense of it, and it was back in my day, by George, but I'm just wondering if both these guys are going to realize real quickly that in college, I'm guessing this stuff doesn't matter anymore, right? It's a different world, different universe, everything else.
Well, I have a mixed feeling about that. I work with a lot of college students, and they're every bit as caught up in social media, though possibly,
oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely, but not necessarily for quite the same reason. It isn't such a popularity contest. I've actually learned that from Emily. I have a whole new understanding of how that works in high school now. In college, it becomes a way to communicate good, bad, or ugly, and they do follow each other and have an interesting time of it.
Yeah.
What I wish they would do is understand when you move on to college, that's really where you should start kind of beginning to professionalize what you're putting out there. And, you know, what is the first thing I do when I have an applicant for a position in my practice? Anyone want to guess?
Mm-hmm.
I Google them. I Google the heck out of them because I want to see what sort of presence they put out there, because that's going to be relevant to me if they work for me. Everybody
mm-hmm.
else is going to look and see what presence they
yeah.
have out there. So this is what every employer does.
Okay, let's go back to some calls here. 816-235-2888, Teens and Technology, our topic today. Dr. Wes Crenshaw is in the house. Charles from Mission, good morning.
Hi, I had a question. I'm 26-year-old, and I'm going to be applying to medical school. I've been told to deactivate my Facebook account mm-hmm. to 6 months out, and I was just wondering if they do, professional organizations obviously will look, but if there's a way I could secure what I've done from when I was young and dumb, I've had it since I was 18, you know, years and years ago. So what will they look at? What can I do to clean up if I had done anything stupid, which I'm sure I had, my account, and just make myself more professional and more appear better for anyone who might look in the future? And I can take my answer off the air, please.
Yeah, thank you, Charles. I appreciate that. Thoughts here? Yeah.
I hope Ben's going to save us on this because it's such a good question. He's a techie guy going into computer science, so he'll warm up his answer here in a second. The first thing I'm going to say is nobody should preserve anything they did when they were 18.
Yeah.
I'm glad I was 18, and I don't want to go back there. And in Facebook land, you can go back there forever. So you're wise to be thinking about doing that. Do you know
Ben,
how to do that?
You've got the floor.
Okay. With Facebook, it's completely free. You make it free, and that's how they make their money. They sell your information and everything you put on Facebook to employers. So if you have stuff from 18...
They sell that stuff to employers.
They sell that. Background checks, yes.
They package the stuff up when Ben Sokup applies to some company.
They can package up, like, schools. Like, there's groups on Facebook for, like, Lawrence High and
mm-hmm.
Free State. You can potentially buy all the information from all those people. That Facebook makes their money with ads and people's credentials. It's kind of scary.
I was going to say, I'm not sure a lot of folks are totally and completely aware of that, right?
Well, a lot of people don't look at the privacy or the policies. Most
yeah.
people see a big screen with a long scroll bar. They'll just scroll down and click I accept or
mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah, right, right. You know, Emily, there's a catch-22 here because, again, in terms of what you wrote here in the Double Take column, you write, because of the need for likes or favorites, privacy is intentionally avoided. If you protect your tweets, fewer people will follow you, fewer will like your tweets, and no one can retweet you, leaving you with even fewer followers, likes, or both. While it sounds ridiculous laid out here on paper, it's actually become a delicate social game that must be maintained at all times. Wes already quoted that line. So is this really healthy, I mean, for young people in terms of how they see themselves and each other?
I don't think it's healthy. I know several girls my age that are getting ready to go to college, and we've been talking about sorority rush, and they're all getting worried because we none of them have protected their accounts, and so they're going back through all of their accounts and deleting things because they don't want the things that they tweeted when they first got the Twitter when we were younger. They don't want everyone to be able to see that and judge them.
Is that effective, Ben? Can you do that? Can you clean it up?
Yes, for the public, you can clean it up. But once you've posted it, it is out there. So if you post a picture on Facebook when you're...
Yeah, you can find it.
Facebook can find it.
Mm-hmm.
And those policies differ by the site, the domain, and how long they keep their data because they're storing information and that costs money to store space. So I think Facebook, it's almost up to 2 years is before they delete. So if you delete a picture or a post, it's almost 2 years. They have it in storage and they can use it and access it. Not everyone can access it. So not all her friends that she's worried about for sorority rush, they can't access it. But an employer could see that, yes.
I think that Googling how can I clear out my Facebook has yielded quite a few links. And Ben is correct. Every one of the links says this is harder to do than you think it is. This would be a great thing for the tech guys to come on.
That's a really good idea.
Put that on their list.
Beth Lipoff, make a note of that. We should get the tech experts to talk about that point exactly. Again, teens and technology is our topic today. Parents, how closely do you monitor your kids' social media? Teens, how nervous are you about the stuff you've posted? 816-235-2888 is our number. Our email address, UpToDate at kcur.org. And you can also tweet us at KCUR up to date. Emily Van Schmoos, you know, I'm wondering about this whole idea of, as a future journalist, do you think about whether young people are getting, are they learning enough in school about how to critically consume online news and information, or is that topic sort of going by the board somehow?
I think, well, I know in seventh grade technology class, keyboarding and technology, we learned about websites and how do you know if a certain website is posting what they say they're posting or if it's real information. But after that, we never really learned how to transfer that to social media. And I think that that really needs to be hit on in schools because if I see some Twitter account that looks like a news account and they're tweeting information, I'm going to assume that it's real. But it might not be. It might just be some random guy posting information because he wants people to think, oh no, this famous person died or something like that. There are a lot of, quote, hoaxes that people will tweet, oh, this famous person died, and then they get all these followers, and then they say, oh, just kidding, actually. And so I think that it really needs to be taught in schools how to differentiate between what is actually real and what people are just randomly posting.
It's pretty hard to tell sometimes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach all that, Ben, this notion of what's real and what's not?
Authenticity on the internet is a difficult thing because anyone that has access to a keyboard can say whatever they want, and it leaves an open gun to anything. To authenticate who you are, I've seen people say, like, this is who I am. I'm going to post this on my Twitter and on my Facebook. So you have, celebrities say, like, I'm going to do this, and then they'll post it on their Facebook, post it on their Twitter, on everything else, trying to get people to see that this is actually who they are.
And celebrities actually have verified accounts, at least they have to do for Twitter, right? I mean,
obviously, there was a really good fake Jeff Withey for basketball, and definitely
at the KU Center, who was so good, just drafted by the NBA, right?
But it definitely had a lot of followers and would tweet during the games, and you have joke accounts like that.
Yeah, and people go for it.
Yes, people definitely. It's a way for people to get followers and likes. And most people don't care. Most celebrities wouldn't care as long as it's like fake and then the person's name. And as long as they don't claim to be the real person, it's not really. It's a different side. Claiming to be someone who you aren't isn't illegal,
yeah,
but it can cause difficulties.
Yeah. Felix from Lee's Summit. Felix, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Two things. Number one, my 24-year-old highly technological college graduate daughter took herself off of Facebook recently completely. She claimed she was wasting too much time, which did the analysis. And secondly, there's also an insidious thing that's going on out there that where they post people's mugshots, even if they've been found not guilty or were never charged, if they had a mugshot taken of them. And I wonder if your people, your IP people, can address how to get rid of those without paying the $500 bribe that these companies want.
Wow.
I can't answer that, but that's another one for the tech guys. I think eliminating yourself from the Internet is an area of all new interest to us. I can say that also was a problem in the Boston bombing situation. They had put up a bunch of pictures of people that through social media that were not suspects, and mm-hmm. suddenly social mm-hmm. media made them suspects. It was terrible. I think we are not this may be the biggest problem with the Internet and social media is the consumption of information, that we're expecting people to be good consumers of information and not really able to teach them that, and then the technology changes so quickly that it's difficult to keep up with how to teach them that. We yeah. really have to be on top of this.
Felix,
thank you.
Thank you. You know, Emily, one final point. I'm wondering how social media is shaping the dating world. I mean, obviously you two are interesting because you are a dating couple, but how is social media changing that aspect of who we are?
There are definitely several. There's even an app for online dating, kind of, and you – I'm not sure what it's called.
Tinder.
But oh. So you go in –
That's what Tinder is.
And
yeah.
you can either like this person that lives in your area, and then if they like your profile back, then it will hook you up, and it will say, this person likes you, and you like this person, and you can date. And it's a new app, and I think that we're going to be seeing a lot more of – not necessarily sites like eHarmony or Match.com, but they're more apps geared towards teenagers rather than adults.
She's absolutely right. Tinder, I'm not clear at this moment whether you can get into Tinder if you're under 18. It's based on Facebook, and it is the hottest thing on the market right now. Young people who absolutely refuse to do online dating like Match.com in college, they think that's just... You must be desperate.
Yeah.
Well, this app is the bomb, and you basically match with people that you think are attractive, which is admittedly how people do this out in the dating world. You see someone cute and start talking to them. Mm-hmm. And then this gives you a kind of guided method to go back and forth, and then people switch over to texting, and then they switch over to meeting. And as long as people are exercising great caution in how they meet people, then that's probably the trend of the future.
Well, we're out of time, but thank you all for a great primer on what's going on out there in so many levels. I think lots of parents are probably unaware completely as to what's happening. Emily Van Schmoos, good luck over in, up in Drake, Drake
thank
in
you.
Des Moines. And Ben, soak up good luck over at KU too, okay? Wes, always good to have you. Appreciate it very much.
Pleasure to be here.
Wes writes the Double Take column for the Lawrence Journal World and co-authors the Dear Dr. West series of books for teens and their parents. More information about all of our broadcasts at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Our show is produced by Steven Steichman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, Caitlin Brennan, and Sangeeta Shastri. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.